Let's pray together. God, thank you for this day that you've made. We rejoice and are glad in it. We confess to you that in our lives and in our world, we're all at different places, like sheep that have kind of gone this way and that way, experiencing different things. And you, the Good Shepherd, call out to each one of us where we are with whatever is going on in our hearts, in our minds, that you call out, you call us by name, and you call us to follow you forward into a life that is life indeed. Follow you on the path of life that invites others to join us. Not just going our own way and not just following our own inclinations, but learning the path of your heart, the path that you know is best for us and for our neighbors, for our world. God, even now we pray for your Holy Spirit to open our ears to hear your voice calling and grant us the faith and the courage, the love to follow you forward. Bless our brothers and sisters up at Covenant Pines. Thank you for each one. And God, may their time of worship and fellowship, of communion, be a time of receiving your grace and of them too, God, going forward on the path of your call. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to thank Tom Johnson. It's always a little nerve-wracking for me when somebody has the microphone and they say, oh, and Pastor Mark doesn't know what I'm about to say. I'm like, okay. I liked it. Nice job there. So, and I agree. We're just so grateful for our worship team. And honestly, every Sunday as I come together and I look out at the congregation, I thank God for each person. It's remarkable to me to be a part of a community of people like this. And for me as pastor to know at least bits and pieces of many of your stories, and as we come around this table, it just fills my heart to know that God calls people like you and me in the midst of all that's going on with our fallenness, our sin, our aches and our pains, our worries. He calls us to join him at that table and to receive the grace, the help that he offers. One of the things that God offers clearly is the Word of God, the Scriptures. And today we're going to be continuing that sermon series that Pastor John has been leading us on for the last couple of weeks. We've got one more next week on this whole issue of forgiveness. And today we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, where you might remember Jesus talks about forgiveness. And we're going to look at that and see what Jesus is teaching, even as he taught about prayer there. But as we enter into talking about the Lord's Prayer, I just would ask you in general, what do you think is the purpose of prayer? You know, when you come here or when you bow down before God in prayer, what is it that you think prayer is about? Maybe you've heard me use this metaphor before. Do you think of it as like a vending machine where if you can get the words right, you put in the right amount of words or just the right words themselves, that you'll get out of the machine, out of God, whatever it is you were kind of aiming for, hoping for? Do you think of God as kind of like this cosmic genie? You know, you have so many wishes, so be careful when you pray because you don't want to ask for everything or the wrong thing. Just be really careful because, you know, you only get so many wishes. You want to get it right. Hey, what is it that you're aiming for when you pray? Are you aiming for the best of what you can imagine? The best of what you can envision out there in the world or in your life, is that what you pray for? Are you a prayer warrior where you are battling, well, maybe with God, you know, to talk God into bending to your will? Or when you pray, Do you pray that God would bend you, shape you, your heart to his will? That God would accomplish abundantly far more than all you could ever ask or imagine? Do you pray, God, may your will be done? That's what Jesus prayed. Do you remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane? I'm struck over and over again as I look at the Gospels how consistently Jesus prays. But maybe the most dramatic place where he prays is there in the garden before he's going to the cross. And clearly, he's got a heart's desire that he thinks is his deepest heart's desire. But, of course, his deepest heart desire is life. But in the midst of the anxiety of all that's going on, it's hard to see that he acknowledges what I think I really would like is to have this cup removed from me, to not have to go to the cross. But Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. And I think of that as the bottom line of prayer for us, that we would pray God's will be done. In us, through us, in our world. In the teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 11 on the Lord's Prayer, the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. And so he offers the Lord's Prayer to them. And then he goes on to say, you know, if an earthly father like Mark Patty knows how to give at least occasionally good things to his kids, how much more will your Father in heaven give you? What is it? Do you remember the epitome of what you could possibly ask for? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Not just things here on earth, but the very presence and power of God. That's what Jesus invites us to pray for and to believe is possible every time we pray. That's what we most need. And in the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God, everything else becomes possible. So that's what he talks about in Luke chapter 11. What I find intriguing is that in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, the emphasis of Jesus' teaching on prayer here gets at what the key would be to opening up that flow of God's presence and God's Spirit into our lives. So I want to invite you to listen well, to ask God to help you listen as I read this passage. And listen, what's the thing Jesus most emphasizes here? The key to opening up our hearts, our minds, our lives, our world to the presence and power of God. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's think about this for a minute. Jesus could have emphasized here, Matthew could have brought in some teaching of Jesus to emphasize, the part where Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And certainly Jesus teaches on that, how holy the Father's name is, how we're to call him Father, Abba, Father. Matthew, Jesus could emphasize, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we know that Jesus emphasizes that elsewhere. He could emphasize, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, a little bit later in this very chapter, he'll say, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough." You know, pray for God's bread, the daily bread, what you need for this day, for this moment. But as Jesus is teaching about prayer here, he doesn't emphasize any of those things. Matthew doesn't bring in any of the things Jesus taught there. Did you notice what it was that he did emphasize? What's the word? Forgiveness. What we've been talking about these last couple weeks. You see, forgiveness is actually the key to the whole flow of God's love and grace into our lives and our world. Apart from that, we're not actually going to experience this life that the Good Shepherd is calling us to live. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness is right at the heart of the whole gospel that we're called to believe and to proclaim and to live. At the end of the gospel of Luke, Jesus comes back from the grave and he's there with his disciples and he says, it's written in the scriptures, this is the way it has to be. The Son of Man has to suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. This is the heart of the gospel. Just like Jesus had to die and rise from the dead, his people have to go out and proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's how it works. That's what this whole gospel is about. The end of the gospel of John chapter 20, Jesus back from the dead. He meets with his disciples. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathes the Holy Spirit on them, says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Something about forgiveness, it's right at the heart, right at the center of what our call is in following Jesus and believing the good news. Forgiveness is the key. Matthew chapter 16. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you remember Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The word forgiveness, actually, one of the meanings of it is to release, it's to loose, it's to let it go. That's the key that we're called to use to open up the flow of God's love into our lives and into our world. And if we don't use that key, if we don't turn that key, if we don't open that door, we're not only not going to pass on forgiveness to the world around us, we're never going to fully experience it ourselves. I don't know about you, but I know for me, every time I pray this Lord's Prayer, I kind of do a stutter step when I get to that place where it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others." I was like, "But Jesus, I thought this was all free gift, free grace." Well, I mean, I kind of go through that whole conversation every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, what? Like, really? I've got to do something? I thought it was a free gift. Does that happen to you? Do you ever wonder about that? One of the images that have been going through my mind over the past week or two It's been a tub of water here in Minnesota. You pour in fresh water. It's life-giving. It's good. It's great. It's wonderful. But if you just let it sit there in the tub and it doesn't go anywhere, what happens here in Minnesota? You ever heard of mosquitoes? Stagnant water? Bad stuff? Just take a moment and think of what's happened to the church. Think of what has happened through people like you and me when we have not joined in with the flow of God's love, with the forgiveness of God's grace, when we've just kind of tried to hang on to it ourselves. We can sing and praise God and we can say this is all so great, but when we hang on to it, it's not just that the world around us suffers, but we start to rot and decay and grow stagnant, maybe even grow mosquitoes. At least stuff that goes out into our world and causes pain. We need to unplug the stopper. We need to turn the key. And the thing that unplugs the stopper is that act of forgiveness. The thing that turns the key and opens the door to this life that God is longing to lead us into is the key of forgiveness. We'll never experience the grace of God fully into our own lives unless we are a part of practicing it, letting it go into the lives of others. And I've loved, in each one of our services, we've had some little kids, babies, who have been a part of it. I love hearing their voices, the noises, and the rest of that. And today especially, I think of how amazing the gift of life is for each one of these children. I mean, none of us dreamed this thing up. We're just here. I mean, what are the odds in this universe? It's a gift. But as every one of us who remembers anything about our childhood or watches one of our children growing knows, is that growing up is hard to do. That learning to walk, even though it's a gift and it's an amazing thing to be able to walk, we've got to actually participate in learning to walk. We got to learn how to talk. We got to learn how to relate. These things don't just happen. We could lay in our crib all our lives and we will not grow up into something wonderful and experience something great. We will atrophy and become something much less than the life that we were given to live. And this is exactly what happens to us when we do not participate in the life God is calling us to live. When we do not practice, learn how to stumble our way through actually passing on the grace of God that we've received, learning to forgive others as we have been forgiven, loving others as we have been loved. This is not easy. This is not simple. This is hard work. If, as you can see with any child who's learning how to walk, or many of us as adults who have had an injury or some kind of disease or virus that's come through, and suddenly we find walking is actually hard and we got to learn how to do it again, or even breathing, it was so natural and now we got to learn how to breathe again. We got to ask for help because I'm not even sure how to breathe anymore, and there are people who we've been there before, or we've studied this, we know how to help you, and so we practice breathing, we work at it, we practice learning how to walk and to move our fingers and to do the things. It's hard work, but God help us, we're going to help with the help of one another, learn to do it. Forgiveness is just like that. This Christian life is just like that. We can't do it on our own. We need one another's encouragement. And sometimes it's just so doggone hard. I mean, forgiveness, the key to open up the fullness of life that God's calling us to enter into, it's not easy. Because Jesus is not talking about forgiving somebody who didn't do anything wrong to you. He's talking about forgiving somebody who actually is in debt to you, somebody who's trespassed against you, somebody who's sinned against you, somebody who's like you, who has wronged God, who's wronged your neighbor, who has been prideful or arrogant or full of ego or whatever it might be. Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sin against us. And so as we've been talking about forgiveness for these few weeks, we know we're not talking about something that's easy. We're talking about something that we need to actually pray to God about. Ask God's help. Something we got to work at. We may never actually get all that good at it, but we're going to work at that because we know this is the direction the Good Shepherd is calling us. Because we know that this is the key that's going to unlock our hearts, our lives, our world more and more to the grace of God. Next week, we'll talk about some of the actual practical ways we can do that, begin unlocking the door more and more, walking forward to practice forgiveness and grace in our world. Today, I want to invite you most of all to begin that work or continue that work in your life by praying about it, by lifting up to God those who maybe you're most angry with or afraid of, to pray for your heart to be broken open, that the grace of God would flow in you and through you into the world. Even now as we come to this table, we're called to remember that Jesus died for people who, sitting around that table, had actually let him down, were going to deny him, betray him. People like you and me, he called them to the table. He said, here's my grace, my body broken for you, my blood shed for you. He calls us today to come and receive that same grace, that same forgiveness, and strengthened by God's grace, to prayerfully go out into the world, encouraged by one another, to pass on this grace to others, to invite others to this table of God's love, that all might know how good, how loving God is, and how good and loving his people are as they're transformed by his grace.